from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Welcome to episode 7 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I can't get that movie Frozen out of my head, thanks to you so much.
What do you mean?
Make me sing that song all the time.
Which song?
Do you want to build a snowman? That's the only words I know.
I know, but what did you think of the movie? You finally got to see it.
I know, it was actually a pretty good movie. I think Disney made a good choice with what they did. It was fun, it was witty. It's for kids, but I think also adults can enjoy it. The movie made over $1 billion, so they obviously did something right.
The Disney magic is back, my friend. That's what I could tell you.
Well, getting off of that aside here, what are we talking about today?
Something that does not make me happy. Snow and singing and Disney makes me so happy, and tonight does not make me happy. We're talking about bedtime routines, and you know what? Our bedtime routine is awesome, and does it work? No, we need to get better at it. And I think that that's why we have called in an expert on how to make sure our kids' bedtime routines are as good as they can possibly be.
I feel like no matter what we do, it doesn't work. And luckily, like you said, we got this expert coming in, and hopefully she's got some good stuff for us. But before we get in there, why don't we get into the judgment-free zone?
Blake, what do you got for us this week?
Well, I think the statute of limitations has passed on this one. So I'm going to go ahead and confess one thing to you.
Ooh, you haven't told me this for real?
I really have not told you this for real.
This is why you're telling me over this, because then I can't hit you or kill you.
That way I can't be beaten.
No, and I'm actually not a violent person.
Oh, sure. That's what they tell you on the radio. when you were gone... when you went to New York that time?
Yeah.
When you were trying to pump your boobs and on the way to Connecticut?
Yes.
You were obviously gone for the whole weekend and whatever. I didn't do baby-led weaning at all. Not once.
What?
Really didn't. Nope, not once.
What did you do?
Purees and oatmeal. Our kid had more oatmeal than than the Quaker guy.
That's why he doesn't want to eat it anymore.
No.
He's like, Mom, I'm all set. I OD'd that weekend you were gone. Dad made me go crazy. It was like boys going wild on oatmeal.
But that's just the beginning part of it. You want to know the real kicker?
It's worse than that you just fed our kids total purees and almost kind of undid our baby-led weaning. What did you do?
Pretty much. The kicker is this.
Did you not change his diaper the whole weekend?
No, I changed his diaper, but it's along that vein. I didn't change his outfit the whole weekend.
No, you did not stop.
Yeah, I know, really. Stayed in the same pajamas all weekend.
Stop it.
Brought him to work. He's in the pajamas. Came home, pajamas. Same pair the whole time.
So you didn't even put him in a different pair of pajamas for sleep. He stayed in the same exact outfit for four days.
What does he care?
He's dirty.
He ain't dirty. He's not sweating.
That's
he's not
disgusting.
No, it's not disgusting. It's practical.
Oh, my God. You are disgusting and terrible for not feeding him.
I'm saving the earth because we're not washing as many clothes because of me. I made that happen.
I don't know. I mean, part of me says okay because people on Little House on the Prairie had two outfits. So I guess it didn't kill Laurel Ingalls Wilder. So I guess it won't kill our kid. But can you please just, I'm going away next week. Can you please just change his outfit twice?
Laura Ingalls Wilder. Oh my God.
Can you change his outfit twice? Pretend he's Laura and she has two outfits. I'm gone for 7 days. You can do this.
Okay. Do you want to know the odds of me changing his outfit while you're gone?
I'm just going to call my parents.
I'm going to say slim to none.
Okay.
I'm going to say slim. Because you know what? There's no point. He's a kid. Kid doesn't know.
I'm going to give my parents and the nanny extra outfits, and I'm going to say each time you see him,
make sure he's wearing something different.
He needs to be a different color. Yeah. If he's wearing blue, he better go back home in green.
That's what I got for you.
Yikes. All right. So now that we've had our confession out of the way, how did he do sleeping when I was gone?
The sleep actually went really well. Let me say this. The first night was a big pain in the butt. He cried and cried and cried because he missed his mom. He missed his mother.
You know why? Because he said, where's my regular food? I'm a big kid and I can eat real food. And why is this man not changing my outfit?
Why have I been in this outfit now for 3 days?
Why am I in my pajamas? It's not nighttime.
No, he missed his mom and I'm down with that. But the next day, I think he kind of forgot about you a little bit, and he slept throughout the entire night.
Uh-oh, don't tell me that.
The entire night, and he was, like, totally cool with it. I put him in the bed, fed him a little bit, boom, slept, done. No problem. He was a champ. I was so proud of him.
How was your routine while I was gone?
The routine actually kind of sucked, like I said earlier. I kind of just did what I had to do. As a matter of fact, I went to go visit a friend on his birthday, and I took him to the pub right before he went to sleep.
Who took who to the pub?
Reese.
The baby to the pub adult's birthday. Okay.
Yeah, I took Reese to the pub at like 7 o'clock at night.
Don't say that.
I did.
Seven and is when he goes to bed.
I know, and that's what I'm trying to tell you, that his routine sucked. So I took him to the pub and I passed him around a little bit, but that was actually, oddly enough, the night that he slept throughout the entire night. I was totally surprised.
It's because he was partying too hard.
I know, way too much drinking.
Stop it. Needless to say, bedtime routines, pretty much every parent's bedtime routine can use some work. So we asked a wonderful friend of mine, Tracy, to come on in and speak with us about bedtime routines. And let's see what she has to say. So joining us now is Tracy Martin Turgeon, who is the Vice President Regional of Operations for the Children's Workshop. Thank you so much for joining us, Tracy.
Thank you for inviting me.
I wanted to just start things off, and I wonder how you got involved with working with children.
Well, I've been in the field, this September will be 26 years. I started off, it's actually a funny story, I went into an early childhood facility, not the Children's Workshop, a different one, in Providence for a receptionist job. And the executive director felt that I had the qualities of childcare, so he sent me in the back to interview with the director there. I got hired as a teacher assistant in the kindergarten room. From there, I moved up to a toddler teacher, pre-K, kindergarten, as I worked through my degree at URI. And then I taught first grade for a little while, didn't like the public school, came back to early childhood. And then after 11 years at that facility, I transferred into the Children's Workshop as assistant director and worked my way up in the company.
Wow, so you've done it all, and I'm happy to hear that you are a URI grad as well.
Yes, love URI.
Go Rams.
Hi, that's right.
Tracy, this is Blake here, and I was just wondering, what's the biggest complaint that you get from parents that you work with about sleep and getting these bedtime routines started?
Well, a lot of parents, especially new parents, have difficulty. They come in with different things. And when you work in early childhood, they think that you're a doctor and a psychologist. You wear all these hats. So you try to give them the best advice you can. And most of the complaints are, I'm exhausted. My child was up all night. How do I, you know, you look really tired. And they're like, yep, my child was up. And I can't get them to sleep, or they can't get on a routine. And basically what we do with those questions is we'll give them the best advice that we have. And if our nurse is available, we'll refer them to our nurse. They might have some things that they can copy down for them. Or if not, we'll refer them to go talk to their pediatrician.
I know when we were getting our bedtime routine started with Reese, we had a hard time getting it done because he was just a really tough kid. He's stubborn, kind of like his mom. So we were like really low on sleep. So like for someone like me and my wife, what would you say about sleep, and how would you best combat that, like to combat the lack of sleep?
We would tell parents, you know, what are the signs? Do you have you started routines? And it depends on the baby's age, too. If it's a newborn, because sometimes they start at 6 weeks at the daycare. And at that time, your child leads the dance. Like they get up when they want, when they're hungry. They cry when they want to, when they're wet or they want your attention. So routines usually don't start until your baby can start sleeping through the night a few hours, like 4, 5, 6 hours through the night. So unfortunately, the first few months, it's kind of trial and error, getting those rhythms in place for your child. And that's like the biggest thing. And new parents, it's really difficult because this is all new to you. They don't come with a pamphlet that says, this is how you raise a child.
God, I wish they did.
Or a return slip.
I don't. They don't have that. So it's really difficult. By the time parents have their second or third child, you hear them saying, oh, this is what I do, because it's just second nature to them because they've already gone through those steps. So the first few months, it is trial and error and difficulty trying to figure out where you fit with this new child, where this child fits with you. So once you get to those rhythms and they start to get in that sleep pattern, that's when you can start your routines.
Are there any signs that we should be looking for in children, especially, you know, young babies, that there is a lack of sleep and that it's starting to become an issue for them?
Well, yeah, you should look if there's signs that your child is really cranky, they're really drowsy, they're irritable. Those are signs that your child's not getting enough time or enough sleep in the day or in the evening. And that may be a number of reasons. And again, you might want to refer to your pediatrician for that. But it's usually they're very, very cranky and irritable. Those are the main signs that your child's not getting enough sleep.
With that in mind, then, how much sleep, you know, if you've started your routine or not, how much sleep should a child be getting, you know, each day and night?
Well, that's a good question, because it varies from their ages. From like a 0 to 2 month old, they'd need about 10.5 to 18 hours per day, and that's during naps during the day, and that's during the night. That encompasses all the hours, 10.5 to 18 hours per day. If they're 2 to 12 months old, you need about 14 to 15 hours. As they start getting older, the 1 to 3 year olds, they start napping more during the day, so you need a little bit, about 12 to 14 hours. Most of that time is during the nighttime, but they will have a nap during the day. 3 to 5 year olds, you have probably about 11 to 13 hours per day. And as they get into the school years, 5 to 12 is recommended about 10 to 11 hours per day. Your child should be getting that amount of sleep. And if they're not getting that, that's when you have to start looking at, you know, where are my routines? Where am I missing this? So this child's not getting enough sleep.
I have two questions for you. First, how many naps, you know, for a child like that's my age, how many naps per day should he be getting? And then secondly...
How old is your child?
He's 10 months.
He's 10 months. You'd probably, and it depends, probably about 2 naps during the day, and depending on how long he sleeps. So your child might be a cat napper, so he might only sleep 45 minutes during the day. So he'll make up that time during the rest of the evening. So about 2 times during the day, and you can tell when your child's tired, you can lay them down, and they might only sleep about a half hour, but they need to rest their body because they're exhausted. So about at least 2 times a day, they should be napping a little bit, and then their bedtime routine is where they're going to gain most of those hours.
Jumping back into the bedtime routine, what exactly are the benefits of having one? I think, you know, it's sometimes is chaotic, especially for first-time parents like ourselves, and having to have this routine can sometimes be difficult. So what are the benefits?
That's another really good question, because it's actually essential for your child's health and growth. If they're not getting enough sleep, they're going to get sick more often, they're not going to be healthier, and they're not going to grow as rapid as they should be, and that's to say that that's going to stop their growth, but they're going to get sick a lot, and they're not going to be getting the nutrients. So it's really good that they get the routines and the hours that they sleep. And they're alert. Well, the benefit is also that your child is more alert when they have enough rest. Their memory, as they get older into the school age years, their performance is better. They can concentrate on school better if they're not getting the sleep that they're supposed to be getting. So those are the times that you really want to make sure that they're getting enough sleep, and those are the benefits that they'll get from that.
In terms of the bedtime routine, again, when is, you know, like the best time to put the kid down?
You should probably be in the routine when your child's about 6 months old or a little bit older, depending on how long they're sleeping through the night. So if they're sleeping 6 or 7 hours during the night, or 5 hours, you want to stop those routines, and that usually starts around 6 months of age. It may not... maybe a little bit longer, but usually around 6 months of age, children are starting to sleep longer through the night. Mm-hmm. And that's where the routine should take place.
So when you've started that routine, then what type of activities should be included in the routine?
That's a really good question, because you want to keep the activities and the routines the same. Like my daughter has been going to daycare since she was 8 weeks old, because I had to go back to work. And my routine started when she was that young. Did she stick to those as much? No. But to this day, she still gets up every morning and wants her breakfast as soon as she gets out of bed, because that's what I did during the routine as a baby. But some of the routines that you want to do is, you know, you have your dinner, or the baby has the dinner roughly around the same time at night. You give the baby at the same time. You get them dressed in some snuggly pajamas. You might want to read a story. You might want to sing a song or play a little game like a peekaboo. But that should be the same routine, so your child gets used to this is the next cue that's going to happen. So they get used to those routines, because children strive on schedules. They strive on routines and they know what's going to happen next. As they get older, they learn those routines are the same and they know what's going to happen the next, what's next to happen. My bath's next. This means I'm going to start winding down. My bath time's ready. So those are some of the activities you want to do. You don't want to do anything to get them all riled up.
Once we establish a routine and things are working, what would you suggest we do, say, if holidays or vacations come up? Or for us, Reese was honestly sick for the past month, and it just threw it all out the window. So what do we do during those times?
Yeah, that could be difficult because you may be in a separate place. You might be doing something different. The surroundings might be different. But you want to try to stick to those routines as closely as possible. And you don't want to be like the napper on the run. So you don't want the child to be napping all the time in the stroller or in the carriage. And sometimes they have to do that because you're on a vacation. You're somewhere. But you don't want to crunch everything in together on that vacation. So you're not trying to do like a million things at once. So your child getting off those routines. You want to try to take slow pace, enjoy the vacation, try to get the naps in roughly around the same time. If you're in a hotel room, it's difficult, but you might have to lay down or take a brief nap during that time so your child gets that nap time or that bedtime routine, especially if they're young.
That doesn't sound too bad to me. I would love to take naps on vacation.
I know, that would be sweet, but that's what you want to do. You want to try to keep them as close, and it's not always, oh, it's 2 o'clock, it's time for the nap. You can't always do that, but you want to keep it as close as possible if you can do that. And the same thing with sick. If the child's sick, again, it gets difficulty when the child's sick, but you want to try to keep them next to those routines as closely as possible. They might not be eating as much because they're not feeling well, but you still have those routines where they still stay the same.
When it comes down to bedtime, is there anything, you know, any kind of tools or items? Like I know, for example, Reese uses a Wubbanub. He loves his Wubbanub. If he doesn't have it, he kind of freaks out. So is there anything we should be doing that we should avoid or we should have during the bedtime routine?
Well, the avoidance part is you want to not do, like, you don't want to put him to bed all different times. You don't want to put him to bed later than he's supposed to go to bed. The little rub, what do you call it, a Rub-a-Nub?
Yeah, the Wub-a-Nub, yeah. It's like his little binky with some, it, whatever. It's not important. It's just like his favorite thing on the planet.
It's a pacifier.
And that's great. You wanna give that to him when he goes to sleep because that's his comfort. That helps him to go to sleep. You want it, like my daughter has a blanket yet since she's an infant. She has to have that on her bed every night or she not go to sleep. We go away, that blanket comes with us, and I can't find it, so I hope I never lose it. And she's going to be sick. She takes that blanket, and that's what she sleeps with. She sleeps with it on her pillow. So those are good tools to have if they have attached to a stuffed animal. If you're old enough to have something in the bed with them, you want to have those with them. If you don't want to, like I said, you don't want to stop the routines. You want to stick to those routines. You want to make sure that your child's getting those routines, and they're not going to bed later than they're supposed to. Those are the tools you don't want to do.
How about television? I know a lot of people, you know, adults, they decompress with the television on or they watch a show.
I wouldn't recommend that because you don't want your child to get fixated in the pixels in the television. They see them moving too much. So I think that would overstimulate them. And that's not, I don't know if that's a professional answer, but it's too much stimulation for them to calm them down. So I wouldn't put that on to calm them down. You might want to put soft music on. That's a great, you know, tool to soothe them, lullabies that just plays for a short time. They have some stuffed animals that will just play for like 30 seconds or 30 minutes, and it shuts off automatically. It might have a nightlight attached to it, so that gets them into that nice calming down, soothing area.
So you're saying having Reese watch The Walking Dead with us before we go to bed is a bad idea?
That would be fabulous. No, I wouldn't recommend it.
So
especially
what
if they're older, they might have nightmares. Then you'll be up all night again.
I know. We're trying to avoid that already.
We'll just stick to Breaking Bad then.
So one of the big questions, I know that when Reese was a newborn, he often, you know, fell asleep while he was eating and we would put him into the crib. But I didn't know if we should be putting him to bed drowsy or already asleep.
That you want to put him to bed when he's drowsy. Because if you put him to bed when, I mean, sometimes it happens. You have to put him to bed, they just fall asleep. if you constantly, well, if you hold them and they fall asleep, if they're eating and they fall asleep, and that's constantly the routine, your child's not going to learn how to soothe himself. If he's awake when you lay him down, he's going to get too fussy. So when they're drowsy and you put him in the crib, that's when they can start to calm their body down and go to sleep, because they're already starting to go into that sleep mode, and it's better to put him when they're drowsy than sleeping all the time. It's going to happen, but you want to avoid that as much as possible.
Talking about getting kids into sleep mode, you know, one of the things that we struggle with is, you know, the nap routines versus a nighttime sleep routine, and making them different. Like, how would you say those routines differ, and how would you implement them the best way?
I personally don't think they differ that much. The nap times, you want to keep, again, close to the same time all the time. You'll know when your child's body starts shutting down, when they start getting drowsy, and they start getting tired. And it's going to start happening around the same time of the day when they start to get older. But around 12, a year old to 14 months, is when you want to start getting them into a regular nap routine. So you want to start, say it's 12 o'clock every day, he gets tired. Those are the times you want to start putting them down around that time to get him used to that. If you're just napping him at 10, and then you're napping him at 12, and then you're napping him at 1, that's going to confuse his body. You want him to relax his body at a certain time. So when they're a baby like your son, he's going to pick those times because his body is tired and he's not used to stopping during the middle of the day. He's just tired at 10, he's tired at 12, he's tired at 2, and he might take little cat naps. But as they start to get into the regular bed routines, the nap routines become the same. And if you stick to them, they'll still sleep through the night.
So it's not important then to differ the routine, like to make the nap routine different than the sleep one. Like, for example, we've discussed in earlier podcasts that I sing 3 songs for Reese before he goes to bed. And if he's not asleep by the end of those 3 songs, like, we have a problem. So would it be okay to sing those same exact 3 songs every time he goes to nap and then to bed? Or, you know, do I put him with the same wub-a-nub, or so it's not important to make sure that those things are different, so they don't differentiate nap and bedtime?
Well, if you're singing, the only problem is with the singing part. So you sing, you're there and you sing. So 2 days this week, you're not going to be there, and Grandma's there. And Grandma doesn't know the songs. He's not going to go to sleep.
Okay.
So I can't pronounce
it. It's just a pacifier.
Yeah, sorry. I keep saying that.
Pacifier.
It's a pacifier.
Okay, the pacifier, that's going to soothe him. You want to give him the pacifier. You want to put him in his crib to nap at those times. You want to do routines that if you're not there, the babysitter can still do. If Grandma's watching him, she can still do it. So you want to stick to those routines that are simple, but he can soothe his body, and that somebody else is going to do the same routine, and he's going to follow it. So if I came over and started singing, I'm not going to sound like you. He might not relax.
So
I might not know all the words.
So then I guess you're suggesting that maybe the singing is not a good idea to start the routine, or should we just read a book? Would that be better?
Read a book. I mean, I don't want you to stop singing. It's your son. I sang to my daughter too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't part of my every night routine,
okay,
if that makes sense. Like, the book is every night. We read a book every night. I read little books. We read chapter books now every night. We read a chapter every night before she goes to bed. But my husband can do that. My mother-in-law can do that. And she's still going to have that same routine. So my mom-in-law probably doesn't know all the little kids' songs. If I said, oh, sing Monkeys on the Bed, and she goes to sleep to that, she goes, I don't know the words to that. It's going to be more difficult for her to soothe and go down when she was younger. But reading the story, when I took her to my mother-in-law's, I said, this is the time she naps. This is the book I read. My mother-in-law read the book, and she knew it was time to relax her body at that time.
That's great. You know, I love that when Blake does sing to Reese, it's really sweet, but you're right. It's almost, he sings these songs, and while he's doing it too, he holds Reese in a very particular way that I can't do, because Reese gets too heavy in my arms to hold him for 3 songs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing to do it. It's just when you're starting those routines, you don't want to make that as the exact routine every night, because that's what he's going to want to soothe his body. and grandma comes over, she's not, like you said, she's not going to be able to hold him the same way. She's not going to know the voice or the songs that same way. And he might get frustrated because that's what soothes him, and that's not soothing him.
Great.
But don't stop singing to him.
No, we won't stop singing to him. Don't you worry. We sing to him all the time. So, you know, we're talking about all these different ways that we can have bedtime routines and the different methods. How long does it take for a routine to get implemented? Like, if we start a routine, when can we start to see results? We were talking to two very tired parents, by the way.
I know. I feel bad. I feel your sympathy because I was there. Excuse me. It actually depends on how consistent you guys are. If you're consistent with your routines and you keep the routines as close to possible, like if he goes down at 7:15 every night and Tony goes down at 7:30, that's close enough. If he goes down at 7, you're putting down at 9, you're going to have problems. So being consistent with your routines as closely as possible, it could take up to a week or 2 weeks for him to get into those routines. It could take a little bit longer. It depends on your child, how he gets used to those routines. However, the more consistent you are, the quicker those routines will fall into place.
Tracy, last question from me, and it's always the same question for every interviewee. Is there one thing that you want to emphasize or you want to cover that we either have already discussed or haven't discussed in this conversation yet for parents who are looking to do bedtime routines?
The only thing I would definitely stress on, like I just said, is the consistency and coming up with a routine that's comfortable for you and Mary, that you're comfortable, or two parents, that they come up with a routine that's comfortable for them, that they do all the time, that you're not going to get sick of doing, that you're going to enjoy doing that routine, and it's doable. It's not something crazy off out of this world saying, oh, I can't do this every night. This is never going to happen. See, like putting your child in the car and driving around the block every night. You're not going to be able to do that if it's a blizzard outside. So you want to come up with routines that are going to work for you and your wife, that if grandma comes over, if the babysitter comes over, they can still stick to those routines. And it's something that you can carry out until your child says, Mom and Dad, I'm too old. You don't need to do this anymore. So you want to have something that you're going to enjoy doing for the next 10 years with your child.
I know briefly before we had started the interview, you and I were talking about some particular different ways of really getting your child to sleep. Did you want to touch upon that at all?
At the children's workshop, they start doing their routines in the infant room around the same time, around 12 to 14 months, because they're going from a crib to a cot in the toddler room. So they start taking them out of the crib when they're a year old. Some of them are not really that ready, so they'll practice every other week until they get to that point where they're comfortable on the cot. So that's one of the things that they start doing. I don't suggest transferring your child out of the crib to a bed, but in the daycare, it's a low cot and it's small to them. So they start doing that, but almost every daycare room I walk in, there's soft music playing, and it's always the same music. I know the songs. Every time I go in, I start singing them because I know them. But the children get used to that. They have their playtime or their curriculum time, depending on their age. They have their meals. They get comfortable, they get on their cots with their blankets and their sheets, that music goes on, the lights go off, and 90%, because there are some children that are just not nappers. No matter what you do, it's a child that's just not a napper, but they rest their bodies. And they start to doze off. Those are the routines that we do at the daycare. Those are the routines that are similar to what I did at home. When I had my daughter, I kept her on the weekends. I kept her at the same nap schedule as the daycare, because I knew on Monday she had to go back, so I kept her on the same nap schedule at home. And when she was four and a half, they stopped naps because she was going into kindergarten. It was torture. I felt like I was going back to 2 o'clock feedings. She was miserable. She wanted a nap. So on the weekends, I still gave her a nap. If she was tired, I said, go lay down, until she finally grew out of it halfway through kindergarten. She still wanted a nap.
I still want a nap.
Yeah, me too.
I know. I tell them all the time, I say, you're going to regret this someday. You're going to love it, because she'd fight it once in a while. But she was a really good napper and a really good sleeper, regardless if she's sick, if we've been out. Unless, you know, there are occasions, I can't say that I'm 100% on target, but there are occasions we're out and we don't get home on time. But she, usually I just tell, we have the same routines, and knock on wood, she's great with it.
Tracy, I actually lied about my last question. This is going to be my last question.
Oh, Okay.
Reese does get up in the middle of the night every night. And it's usually around the same time, 10 o'clock.
Oh, he actually just woke up now.
Did he really? Oh, my God. It's like, oh, my God.
That's hysterical.
It's pain. Anyway, he gets up around the same thing, same time every night, or even if he does, if it's not the same time, he just gets up. So is there like a routine that we should be doing to, like, when in the middle of the night to get him back to sleep, or should we do the same things?
Actually, there is.
Okay.
And this is going to be harder probably for Mary more than you, because it's usually the mom it affects, but it might affect you. Parents usually know the cues. They cry because they're wet. They cry because they're hungry. And they're different cries. If your child's crying because they just want attention, you want to wait 2 minutes, then go in to check on them. The next time they get up, you want to wait 5 minutes, then go in to check on them. The next time, if it's 3, 4, 5, 6 times a night, you want to stretch it a little bit longer. Eventually, and if you do it the next night, instead of waiting 2 minutes, you want to wait 5 minutes on the first one. Unless it's a cry that you know your child needs you. It's not a want, it's a need. If it's a want, you want to stretch those time limits, and eventually your child be able to soothe themselves back to sleep. You don't have to go in and check on them.
You're giving us faith.
We need it, trust me.
There is light at the end of the tunnel, I swear.
The sleep gods will shine upon us one day.
They will shine upon you, I promise. But the only problem is, well, you're going through teething now, but you'll get to the pattern where they sleep through the night and then the teething starts. Then you get through that and then something else comes up.
So you're letting us know that this battle of sleep is going to continue post the next couple of months.
Probably. And then until your child is married and on their own, you're going to still wake up when they're not home, and it never ends.
Totally. Oh, well, at least now we have the routine, and I think you're right. Consistency is going to definitely be key for us. Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us today. Now, if people want to be able to contact you or the Children's Workshop, where can they do that?
They can do that at my email. It's tmartin@childrensworkshop.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much once again. That was Tracy Martin Turgeon from the Children's Workshop, located here in Rhode Island, and also some offices in Massachusetts. But Blake, what do you think? What did you learn?
You know, I feel like I say this after every interview that we have, but man, that's a lot of information. You know, I mean, like, whoever would have thought that getting your kid to bed, you know, in the routine and everything was like kind of like complicated.
Trust me, I'm so tired. It definitely is complicated. And we got him back down to sleep. That's the good thing.
I know. I think I need a routine. Oh, my word. Jeez. Luckily, he ain't crying anymore. That's the most important part.
He's not crying, but I think it's time for us to cry because it's time for the wines of the week.
Good transition.
Thanks. That music always makes me so nervous. So what's your wine of the week, Blake?
10 p.m.
Gosh. Oh, right. Exactly.
You know where I'm going with this.
You know, mine would be 10:05 p.m. because if it's not 10 and you think you've got it.
Oh, then it's 10:05.
10:05. And there you go. You're done.
I know. I hate 10 p.m. And it goes along with this this topic today. But every freaking night, Reese gets up at 10 p.m. It's like I dread that number now. I used to love 10 p.m. You know what 10 p.m. used to mean to me?
What?
Awesome. It was awesome for two reasons. One, when I was in college, I was going out. I was having fun.
Yeah, those
going to the pub. I was drinking. And then when I hit my late 20s and early 30s, 10 p.m. meant bed. love 10. Can't wait to go to bed. You know what 10 p.m. is now?
What?
Hell. Total hell. Kid crying. Won't go back to bed. Totally inconsolable. That's 10 p.m. for me. So I hate 10 p.m. What about you? What's your wine?
My wine of the week is this new idea that we've come up with where I sleep on the couch. And it's not because Blake and I have any marriage problems. It's because we're trying to teach Reese that if he cries in the middle of the night and wakes up, if he gets snuggled in our bed for a little while, Mama's not going to be there. So there's no point in waking up, funny.
Let's be honest about this. We're doing it so he doesn't get his mom's boob every single minute of the night.
It's true.
Really, that's what it is.
Well, it's not even that I always listen to him and give him what he wants. It's just that he is so insistent and he doesn't stop screaming. If he knows I'm there, he can smell me. He can
hear me, it's terrible. So I have been banished to the couch. And Blake is like, oh, you must be having such a great night's sleep. Why are you complaining? Why do you have coffee? You sleep on the couch. You want to know what I want to say to that? You sleep on the couch. Because we live in the smallest little apartment. I still hear that kid cry. It's not like I'm sleeping through the night. However, Blake is on a Tempur-Pedic mattress and I'm out there on a couch from the 80s. So I'm exhausted. And this whole sleeping on the couch thing.
Is it not working?
It's not working for me at all. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going a little crazy. So that's my wine of the week. Now that I've divulged that I might need to
You've been sleeping on the couch.
Yes. I think it's time to change gears and start with the wins of the week. Make me happy, Blake. What is bringing a smile to your face?
You know, one of the cutest things that's ever happened to me in my life?
What?
I mean, aside from marrying you, of course. See what I got there? See what I did there? I made you laugh.
You're trying. I'm still sleeping on the couch, but you're trying.
Get on the couch, woman. No. One of the cutest things ever happened to me a couple of nights ago. We were sleeping. Well, we were trying to sleep, and Reese was in the middle of us. I think you remember this. He was in the middle of the bed, and he was like falling asleep, and he was like touching you, and then at the same time he went and like grabbed my hand
with his other arm
and he held my hand and he fell asleep holding my hand.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It was like the coolest thing that's ever happened in my life.
And what's happening on the other end is his feet generally are kicking my boobs or kicking my face, so you get the sweet cuddle hand holding
and you get the kicking.
That's why I'm on the couch.
Get back on the couch. What I tell you?
Gosh.
Don't make me tell you twice. How about you? How was you? What's your win, if you even have one?
That's so terrible.
I know.
But kind of true. My win of the week is that we have decided to enter the world of child labor. And I put up little signs around the neighborhood with a picture of my kid's face being like, hey, anyone want to watch my kid for $5 an hour while I make dinner? And I found this 12-year-old girl. She lives down the road.
She's wicked nice, by the way.
She's so nice.
She's like a ballerina and everything.
She is, yeah. And basically, I advertised it as a mother's helper, and she gets $10 cash every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5:30. I get to make dinner. I get to sit. You want to know what I did today?
What'd you do?
I laid down and I watched Frozen again.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God.
Oh my God, that movie will never, ever leave this house.
Do you want to build a snowman? Yes, I do. Why? Because I don't sleep. You know what? If Frozen can take me away and make me a little happy, and if I have a 12-year-old girl playing with my kid, making sure he doesn't fall off his drum, I'm okay with that.
You know what?
What?
I don't have a skull.
I don't have bones. All right, so that was my win. Let's talk about our parent picks of the week. What do you have?
All right, first I got to say this. The music that we have that introduces our parents' pick, it reminds me of Dexter. I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen the show Dexter.
I do not watch that show. There's blood.
I know you don't, but if for any of you that have seen the show Dexter, it's like the same exact music. So every time I hear it, I think of like, you know, serial killers. Mm. I know.
That really goes appropriate with our podcast.
A perfect parent pick, you know, I know. No, the real parent pick is hydrocortisone. Make sure you have like tubs of it.
Why?
Because, well, the hydrocortisone cream. Yeah. Because if your kid has a rash or if he is suffering from some kind of skin ailment, whatever it is, like psoriasis or eczema, whatever it is, like Reese had a really bad rash on his tummy, I'd say like a week ago. I put the hydrocortisone on him. Dude, done. Gone. All of it. Within like a night. Gone. The whole thing. And he was totally healed. Wasn't itching anymore. He wasn't like miserable and crying and just ridiculous. He was totally healed. It was awesome. It was like, it's like the miracle drug. And because it's basically steroids. That's what it is, hydrocortisone. But like,
is it safe to be putting on him?
Well,
is that why he's so big?
He's just ripped.
He is. You just said the other day that he has abs.
He does have abs.
Are 11-month-old supposed to have abs? How much were you putting on his belly?
It was like, at least I'm going like Barry Bonds level on his hydrocortisone levels. I mean, his back is freaking jacked.
We may need to edit this if we find out that we've been giving way too much.
I know, please. Yeah, no child services come here. Please don't do that. But no, hydrocortisone stuff, man, is awesome. Just to get like...
a lifetime supply of it, because any skin ailment, it will definitely heal it within minutes. I swear to God. So how about you, my darling love? What do you got? What's your parent pick? You got one?
Oh, you bet. My parent pick are these things called sock-ons. Oh. That's right. And you want to know what they do?
Well, I know what they do. Why don't you tell our listeners?
They keep your socks on. I mean, talk about some brilliant naming right there. But they're just kind of like these pantyhose material things that go over the ankle of your child's socks when they're wearing the socks. And it just kind of keeps them on. And whoever came up with this idea, absolutely brilliant, charges $6 for a pair of sock-ons.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Time out. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
We're paying two pairs.
$6 for these things?
You betcha.
Why can't we just use a roll of duct tape?
Because
duct tape the things on.
Then they're going to be sticky and I won't be able to wash duct tape stick out.
Whatever. We'll figure it out. Anyway, $6. Wow.
It is a lot. So even if you just buy one pair of sock-ons, just make sure you don't lose them. But yeah, I actually never wash them because I'm afraid I'm going to lose them because they are $6 each. But I love them. They are totally worth their weight in gold and they have kept Reese's feet warm. So that's my parent pick of the week.
Yay, Dexter time.
How you doing, Blake?
Well, after my Dexter time dance, whew, I'm smoking. Baby.
You were actually dancing.
I was literally dancing as that music was playing. I know. I wish we'd do a video of this podcast. We probably should.
Except I'm not wearing a bra, so it probably wouldn't be a very attractive.
And I'm in
podcast.
My underwear, so you people would be like mortified.
They would. But they would have learned a lot about sleep routines because we're gonna go right to sleep after this.
Oh, immediately! I cannot wait to hit the sack.
Oh, look at you, because you're in a bed. So
and you're on the couch.
How can people reach us?
They can reach us. You always do the internet one. So you started.
Internet. I love how you call it that. The interweb. So if you want to chat with us and tell us how your sleep routines work or do not work, you can reach us at parentcastpodcast.com.
Or if you're into the whole Facebook fad, you can get us at facebook.com/parentcast.
Find us on Twitter at parentcast.
And then on Gmail at parentcast@gmail.com.
We would love to hear from you guys. And we would also love it if you could subscribe to us. We're on iTunes.
Oh, and rate us too.
Yes.
And give us an honest rating. That's okay. If you like us, give us a 5. If you hate us, then give us a 1. That's fine too. I don't care. But
No. Just give us a 5.
No. Yeah, so yeah, actually, you know what? Just lie. Give us a 5 no matter what. I want to be awesome.
We are awesome. So what's coming up on the next episode?
That's episode 8. Episode 8 is a mom's roundtable.
Ooh.
We had such great success with the dad's roundtable. We figured, hey, let's get the moms involved too.
What are we going to be chatting about?
I think we'd be talking about things to know before you have your kid.
Ooh, so moms, like new moms like myself, we're going to impart our wisdom.
I know. You should feel wicked special.
I do, and I'm going to let all you pregnant people know. These are the things that I wish I knew. And so I'm going to save you, me, my friends. We're going to chat about what we wish we knew before we had a kid.
And I may just show up too and, you know, bust balls for a little bit.
Why not? That's what you're good for.
<That's>
that
right.
And sleeping on a bed.
Yeah, a good bed. And not the couch.
Ruh-roh. Well, that's the end of episode 7. Lucky number 7. What do you think, Blake?
Oh, you know, we're 7 episodes into this bad boy, and I think we're running on all cylinders here. I'm really proud of us so far.
Oh, well, you're running on all cylinders. I'm running off of 2 cups of coffee and sleeping on a couch. But
so, well, hey, you know what? Get that feedback to us as soon as you can. If it's good, we'll put it on the air. If it sucks, as always, you're left out.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Parentcast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
We're poor.